Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight again, and good to be here with you. Wow, man, it's just the time just goes by so fast. It's literally amazing, and sometimes I think that's good, and sometimes I think it's not so good. I can't tell. I love it when the time goes by fast. Think if you're waiting for something amazing to happen, right? Then let the time go fast, Lord. Let it go just fly by. Yeah, yeah. Anyway. That's me, but yeah. But when I don't want something, say, "Damn, it's take your time, Jesus. We got all day, all year." Right. All right. So good to be with you tonight. It is another Hyper Faith Talk Show. It's Thursday night. We're going to be praying over offerings tonight, and blessing people and being, you know, prophesying and believing God for miracles for everybody, whatever they need. We'll believe in God for that. So, yeah. You want some of that? We're on. Yes, we are. So, okay, here we go. All right, if you want to give tonight, you're welcome to do that. Just go to my website, randychandler.com, and click on donate. You do it on your phone or your computer, either one. It really doesn't matter. Either way, go to your computer or your phone and put in randychandler.com. And you'll be able to give. You'll be able to help. You'll be able to, you know, plant a seed or whatever you want to call it. Tithe, give offerings. Yeah, and we happily receive it. We love receiving it. We love praying over offerings when they come in, too. We do that on Thursdays. Money comes in all week long, but we pray over it on Thursdays. Also, we're going to be taking communion tonight. So get ready for that. We're going to enjoy. We're learning more and more about eating his body and drinking his blood, and it's pretty amazing, actually. The more we learn about it, the more I learn about it, at least. So we're going to be believing God for all that kind of stuff to go on, literally, and manifesting the very cells and memory of Jesus. When we actually connect to it, what becomes ours. I don't know about you, friend, but that just thrills me to no end. Somehow we haven't been doing it maybe correctly. I'm not sure exactly how what we're doing wrong. I have some ideas, but we're getting some scriptures about it. You know, like in James 1, it says, you know, to receive the engrafted word. And when you receive engrafts, especially from the Lord, you know, it comes with his cells, right? It comes with his memories. It comes with his, you know, his life, what he did in his body. You're receiving the body of Jesus. I'm talking about when you receive the engrafted word through ministry, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that does that. He's the one who engrafts the word. He's the doctor, so to speak, who actually does the surgery, if you will. And, so, you know, when you start thinking about it, it says, therefore, to get rid of all moral filth and every expression of evil and humbly accept the word engrafted in you, the engrafted word, which can save your soul. Wow. Which can save your soul. Now, our spirit man is already saved. We know that, so therefore we're saved. You can't unborn again your spirit man. Once your spirit man is born again, you're born again. I mean, that's just it. You can't change it. It's like when a child's conceived in a womb, and, you know, conceived, and then even if they die, they're still a child. They can never not be a child. So is it when we're born again. Once you're born again, you're a child of God. You can't undo that. As some people think that you can. Can you miss out on all your rewards? Can you live a hellish life on earth? Absolutely. Yeah, you can. That's why it says here that in order to receive that engrafted word, you know, the very flesh of Jesus, you know, I think we're going to start calling it the very flesh of Jesus. the Word became flesh, the Bible says, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father. So I think that it's pretty cool that when we start realizing that true ministry is the engrafting of the very nature of Jesus, not in your spirit man, because your spirit man doesn't need that. He got totally recreated. It's your mind and your body, right, that's being renewed. Right? It's your body that's getting old. Your spirit man doesn't get old. Remember, people say when you go to heaven, everybody's all about, they're all young, like in their 30s, you know, 20s, 30s. Yeah, because I think that's what your spirit man, I think your spirit man is like, you know, 20, 30 years old, something like that. I don't know exactly how old you are. But I think that it's manifested when you get to heaven that that's the way it is. You're young. You're literally young. So being that is a pretty common understanding of people who have gone to heaven and seen people in heaven, I think that, you know, like the little boy, I don't know if you ever watched the movie about the little boy who died. He got sick and he died and he went to heaven. I don't think he actually ever died. I think he almost died and went to heaven. And he was only about, 5 years old, 6 years old? I can't remember how old he was. He was very young, just a young boy. Just as pure, innocent, sweet as you can be. He just had the sweetest heart. I mean, my gosh, it was amazing. And he, on the operating table, on the whatever they were doing to him, he went to heaven and came out of his body and went to see Jesus. And, that was pretty amazing that happened to him. And he said that everyone there is young, like he said, like his father asked him, you saw my grandpa? He showed him a picture of his grandpa when he was old and had glasses. And the little boy said, no, that's not him. And the father knew that was him because it was his picture of his grandfather, of his father, right, the child's grandfather. And he said, or maybe it was his grandfather, you know, one of the. So he showed a picture of him when he was really old. And he said, no. The little boy said, no, that's fine. Paul, that's not Paul. And so the father goes and gets a picture of him when he was really young and brings it and shows it to him. He says, yeah, that's Paul right there, because he recognized him because he's young. So we're going to realize that, your spirit man is young. Your spirit man is like that little boy when he died, when he went to heaven and saw people. And most everybody I know says people are young there. I don't know how young they are, but they're, 30s maybe, something like that, 20s, 30s. It depends on how old they grew. I guess if they died when they were 5, they weren't 30. They were probably 5, and then they maybe grew into 30. I really don't know. But either way, you see that, your spirit man is like that. Your spirit man is new, but your old physical body, it needs to be renewed. Why? Because it's getting old. Your spirit man never gets old, friend. Never. See, this will separate out for you an understanding of why our mind needs to be renewed and our body needs to be restored. Because your spirit man, has been totally recreated. And the Bible doesn't talk about renewing your spirit man. It talks about renewing your mind. Because your mind has old memories. It has old things inside of it that are old. No matter how old you are, right? Yeah, so the older you are, I guess the more you have. So that's the part of us that has to be renewed. And so when you start realizing that James 1 talks about how do we become young and innocent, or how do we renew our youth? How do you renew your youth? Well, you renew it. You renew your youth by getting Jesus' skin. I think Jesus has young skin, right? You get his flesh, you get his body, you get the engrafting of the Lord, right? And so I don't think it really means your physical body gets engrafted with Jesus, but we're talking about your spiritual body and your soul and that part of you that, because your body has old cells and has old things, it lives more in the world. Then your spirit man does not live in the world anymore. Your spirit man does not live in the world. That's why the Bible says you're in the world, but not of the world. You're not of the world because your spirit man is completely brand new. All right? That's why you're in the world, but you're not of it, because your spirit man's young, doesn't get old. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah? Yeah. So, because all the little people that have gone to heaven and seen people in heaven, they're all young. Right? So that tells you that they're all spirit man is young. All right. So I'm repeating myself now. So here's the thing that are showing me more and more all the time. So something's going on because we haven't been really truly like Jesus easily. It's been a difficult thing. It's been hard. People have a hard time. You know, they try to believe. They know the Bible. They know scriptures in their mind, but it's not really real to them, because if it was real to them, they'd live in it. We all read about miracles. We believe that we can pray for miracles and see miracles, but you don't see it that much, right? I mean, let's just be honest. You don't see it that much. We see it some, but we don't see it that much. Every believer, the Bible says every believer can do those things. Mark 16 says, you know, if you believe, you can heal the sick and you know, do all the miracles that Jesus did. You know, those who believe shall do these signs. And so you start realizing that, you know, to do the signs of the Lord, everybody can do that. It's not just a special group of people. Some people have the gift of miracles. Some people have the gift of faith. Some people have things that make it easier for them. But everyone should have, after being engrafted, the very body of Jesus, the very soul of Jesus, by the preaching of the gospel or by the ministry of the word, or by you and the Holy Spirit getting together and him engrafting in you or imparting in you and planting in you the very flesh of Jesus, the body of Jesus. Because in his body, whatever body part you have, it doesn't matter. I know the lady who got lungs had the same eating habits as the person she got her lungs from, the guy. He's like beer, chicken nuggets, and watch sports. That was the lungs. Somebody else got the heart. Somebody else got a heart for somebody, and they had the same basic go on. So it doesn't really matter what part of the body you get of Jesus, whether it's a toenail or whatever. You get the life, memories, the cells in the body of Jesus, everything that was recorded from the time he was conceived in his mother's womb. God made the body, even in the womb, to have memories. Remember we talked about the guy who I, you know, used to work 4 years ago, and he kept thinking when he goes to the doctor's trying to kill him. You know, he was like a grown man with a business and fairly successful and, you know, a good Christian. And his wife was too. And they asked me, he said, why do you think that Steve goes to the doctor, he feels like the doctor's trying to kill him. I said, well, automatically, right on my mind. Well, was he ever aborted by it? You know, was there an abortion situation with his mom? And they said, yeah, how did you know that? I said, well, I don't know, it just came to me. But that child, when it was in his mother's womb, conceived that the doctor was trying to kill him and didn't even know what a doctor was, but just knew that this, you know, you see what I'm saying? Friend, this is a lot deeper than we think it is. It's a lot more amazing than we think it is. So when we receive anything from Jesus, from the very time he was conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary, those cells started having memories of what was going on. We talked about this before a little bit, about how Joseph rejected Jesus, you know, in the very beginning, until God spoke to him, right? He rejected him right away. Jesus was being rejected in the womb. You think he didn't feel that? You think he didn't know that? No, he knew it. Just like my friend knew a doctor was trying to kill him, that he kept trying to talk his mother into aborting him for whatever the reason. I don't remember what the reason was, but that child knew that was going on. I mean, when I told them, you know, asked them this and we connected all that, it blew their mind just like it blew my mind. I'm going, oh, my gosh, that's truly amazing. You know, so the cells, no matter what cells you have, in every cell of the body, there's memories. They collect memories. They hear things. They know things. Even though they may not know English, they know a spirit of love when they feel it. They absorb, your cells absorb memories of love. memories of hate. That's why, you know, this understanding what we've been talking about and teaching on is extremely important, because you understand how it's the only thing that can save us. Now, our spirit man doesn't need saving. He's been completely saved. Yeah, I know I say that a lot, but I was separated out because I don't remember. We have a lot of new callers all the time, too. So your spirit man doesn't need to be renewed. Maybe refreshed, maybe that. Yeah, okay, but not renewed. He's always young and always going to be young. And when your physical body dies and go to heaven, he's going to go to heaven young, because he's young. He's been made young. Right, okay. So, but your soul needs to be saved. Why? Because even after you're saved, you have memories, just like my Christian boss, my friend, had that memory, and he went to the doctor as a 50-something-year-old man and still felt like the doctor was trying to kill him, and had all of his life every time he went to the doctor. I mean, this is a documented fact. One of these days, I don't even know if they're still alive anymore. I haven't talked to them in many years, but in Christ I lie not. What I'm telling you is exactly. And this started showing me, even back then, I started seeing a little bit, how that, you know, the memories and the cells, and even though that baby didn't understand English, it felt the spirit of a thing. And it collected a memory of it, and even knew that it was a doctor somehow, even though a little baby in the womb doesn't understand what a doctor is. Or maybe it does. Hey, that's a thought. All right, so what we're talking about here tonight is memories. So how do you get your cells that have memories in them, good and bad, hate and love, whatever, from one degree to the other, how do we get that washed away and cleansed? How do we get that changed? How do we keep a memory and yet the sting and the pain of that memory be washed away? That's what the blood of Christ does. That's what the washing of the water of the Word does too. That's why understanding when the Holy Spirit gives us revelation of Jesus through reading the Bible or through listening to preachers or whatever, however he gives it, the Holy Spirit is engrafting in you the actual, you know, I mean, this sounds funny when I say it, but I know it's true in the spirit, so help me out here, Jesus. You're actually receiving the very flesh of Christ. I'm not talking about communion now, okay? I'm not talking about communion. We're talking about that later. But in order for your soul, the part of you that has to be renewed because there's all these memories in there, to be cleansed and washed and to be renewed, is you have to have the new of Jesus in you, who, by the way, never did get old. You know, he died when he was 33, but whatever. So when you receive Christ, not only do you receive his, you know, it's not about physical age or how long he lived, but it's about what he was made up of and the memories he had. Could you imagine the memory of the Holy Spirit putting you in your mother's womb without your father's actions or relationship to the man? You imagine what that's like? Like, whoop. Wow, man, that was cool. You know, like, it was a direct delivery from heaven, right? It was like a direct delivery from heaven. What, you know, in the womb of Mary, she's like, oh, wow. Man, I'm pregnant. This is awesome. I'm pregnant from the Holy Spirit. This is really cool. And there was a memory of Jesus having that. Can you imagine that? Yeah. I don't understand all that. I guarantee you, but I'm believing God. I want to understand every bit of it. I do. I'm hungry. I want to know. And when you're really, really hungry, when you taste food, when you're really hungry, you can eat the same food you ate yesterday, same food, has everything the same in it, cooked the same way. And when you're really, really hungry, you know how, you're like, oh, my God, I used to do my mom that way, you know, the chicken fried steak, what did you do to it this time? You, nothing, same old thing, Randy. No, Mom, you did something. You know, so when I thought about it, it's because I was just really, really hungry, you know, and maybe I didn't eat breakfast right, or I was busy running around, and I ran off a lot of my food. And so I come to the table, and I'm just starving. And so every little thing, every little flavor, every little thing in that food, just like, Oh, yeah. He's like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, you don't usually make this big deal with my food. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, man, it just tastes so wonderful. What did you do? Nothing. And then, same thing. with Jesus. When we come hungry, friend, you start to pick up every little fiber, every little flavor, every little thing, and you just pick it up and you start, oh my God. You know, you see some people when you minister, when they're getting something from God, whether it's through somebody else or whatever, you know, you see it. You see it with good preaching, good teaching. People go, oh, my God, I've never seen, oh, my God, Lord, that is amazing. Dear Jesus, oh, wow, oh, yeah. It's the same thing when you get food. It's the same thing when you get some food when you're really, really starving. I do the same thing. I literally do that. I mean, I've had people tell me, you make way too much, you know, ooh and ah about food when you're eating. I go, yeah. Man, when it's really good, I like to appreciate it. I'm not ashamed to, you know, value it in my expressions. And some people are afraid to value their expression, but I'm not. Right? But I just like, and women who cook or men who cook, but, you know, anybody who cooks and I'm eating their food, they're going like, we really like you, Randy. You are really cool. You know why? Because I don't hide my expressions about how good the food is. That's not being a pig, right? It's not being a slob. It's called valuing some cooking and food. We're going to have the lamb supper one of these days. Yeah, you'll see what I'm talking about. Some of you already know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about? So it's going to be awesome, man. So when you come to Jesus hungry, that's what causes you to pick up things that other people don't pick up. Woo, do you hear that? I mean, yeah, oh, my God. Yes, you do. And everybody's sitting there going, like, wait, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her, man? I mean, why is she getting so excited about that? Well, because she tasted more of the flavors than you did. She got more out of it. She heard it deeper than you did. Why? Because when you're really hungry, you taste things deeply. That's what I'm telling you. The Lord told me the other day, he said, Randy, I want you to pray that my people become hungry. I know they're already hungry a little bit. We all get hungry every day and we eat. But you know, when you come and you're starving, like I try not to shop when I'm hungry because I can taste the food in the package. I mean, you know, whatever it is. The potato, I can see it in my mind. Yeah, that's good, man. That's awesome. Why? Well, one thing is that your body craves it. Your body actually gets health and help to live from the food that God created. It's going to be God's food, not man's food. But your body craves it, and even the flavors. Did you know your body can taste things and minerals and different things in there? And when your body's really hungry, it can taste every little different mineral, every little different, whatever you want to call it in there, chemical in there that God put in there for our health. When you're really hungry, you can taste every bit of it. You may not know that's what you're tasting, but that's what you're tasting. And that's what being hungry with God is. We start eating his body. You start, oh, man, Randy, what, you know. And, oh, your pastor, whoever's leading you, whoever's ministering to you, whoever's speaking to you, oh, my God. You get a song going on, and songs can really open. Oh, wow, that was amazing. Dear God, wow, thank you, Jesus. Oh, that was that. And everybody else got there going like, you know, I don't know what that, you know, I mean, this is a good song, but it ain't that good. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you're just not, I don't know. I can't say it's the reason every time, but maybe you're just not hungry enough, honey. Sir, maybe you need to awaken the hunger inside of you so that when you read the word or get into the word or somebody's preaching the word, you can get everything that's in there like, oh, wow. Yeah, this is, and let me tell you something. The person who cooked it up, the cook, they'll stand there and wait on you and give you all the food you want. You talk about their food like that. They'll just say, what else do you want, honey? I love the way you eat. I love it. Let me tell you something. You think that doesn't do that to God? When he cooked up Jesus, when he put him on the altar, and we're eating the lamb from heaven, and you're sitting there going, yeah, it's okay. You know, the reason it's just okay is probably because you're not that hungry. But when you compliment the cook, the Holy Ghost, who reveals Jesus to us, I think he's the one who cooks everything up for it. And you say, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that is, wow, oh, man, oh, yeah. That is, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can't even tell you what one of my friends told me that I sound like when I'm eating food. Maybe you can guess. But see, you gotta stop doing that. You know, so I'm not acting. I'm not playing. This is really, you know, and so that's the way I'm like when I'm eating spiritual food too. Is maybe you can tell. Some of you are the same way. You wouldn't be listening. Yeah, this guy's crazy, man. He's just What is he seeing that I don't see? You know, he's been in the Word of God a long time, and he's seeing things, and he's getting excited about this. I can't seem to get it. Well, you will. Just let it get planted inside you. Let it get engrafted, and when it starts growing in there, one of these days you wake up, and you'll be calling me up or getting on this phone or on the show or whatever, texting me something. You go, oh, my God, Randy, did you know that this? And I said, yeah. I said, where'd you get that from? Oh, from the Lord today, from the Lord, just today. Oh, it's just amazing. Oh, wow. And I said, well, you know, I just taught on that like 6 weeks ago. You did? Oh, you taught on that 6 weeks? Yeah, exactly. I don't remember, man. All I know is that, oh, man, it's so good. That's the way it is. You know you're being successful when that happens, right? Because some people, when they get it, it's like when you got it, except planting it in some people, it's not that they have to. I'm not trying to get people to act out when they're eating food unless God's giving you something while it's being given out. But eventually, that word that's planted in you and engrafted in your soul, when it comes alive and it connects to you and it starts feeding you, I mean, real words, real information for you, the way you can see it, the way you can see it, the way you can understand it, friend, you're going to be ooh and oh, and the Holy Ghost is going to go, yeah, I knew you were going to get it. I knew you'd taste it. Yeah, you just needed to take, you did that engrafting just needed to take place. It needed to activate and get in there because you've been cleaning up. You've been therefore getting rid of all the moral filth and every expression of evil according to James 1:21, and you humbling, accepting the engrafted word, and oh, my God, yeah, ain't it awesome? Isn't it just delightfully tasteful? Because you can taste every now. When Randy gave it to you, or your priest, your pastor, or some revelator, or somebody told you about it, you know, it didn't really. It was okay, but it wasn't as good as they were acting like it was good. You know why? It's because it had to be engrafted in you. And once it started kicking in, it started kicking in, and you started feeling like, oh my gosh, yeah. And friend, this is what I'm talking about. You know, and when we receive, truly receive, I think a lot of engrafting, a lot of preaching, a lot of ministry, it can be very good, can be very proper and done by the Holy Spirit and be good doctrine and good preaching. And people just they're unclean. They're not trying to live clean lives. They're doing whatever they want to do, however they want to do it, whatever they want to do it. And therefore, when the engrafting gets in there, you know, it's kind of like trying to put a sticker on your car. And you're putting a sticker on your bumper or something on the windshield, and you got goop on there and grease and oil, and I ain't gonna clean it off. I'm just gonna stick the sticker on there. It'll stick, you know. And you stick the sticker on there, and all it stays on there for a little while. Then the wind blows it off as you're driving down the road. You're like, well, what happened to my sticker? Somebody stole my sticker. No, they didn't steal your sticker, friend. You didn't clean it up before, so the stickum could stick. That was the problem. It's the same thing with engrafting. It don't stick sometimes. And sometimes we never do get it, really, because the grafting doesn't connect. It just kind of falls off and it rots or whatever. It's like manna used to rot when you left it, you know, So, you know, you study the manna thing, you find out about manna rotted. And it stunk, too. It says Moses, he'll tell you all about it. So anyway, friend, this is amazing. So it's for the saving of your soul. Why does your soul need to be saved? I thought we got saved. We did. That's why some people say, I get saved all the time. Well, I think what you're trying to say is that your soul's being renewed every day. And if you're doing that, that's the right thing. Yeah, for sure. And that's good. And that's awesome. And that's amazing. But, friend, in order to change those memories so that you don't fight anger all the time, so you're not fighting unforgiveness all the time, I forgive. You hear people saying all the time, oh, my God. You know, what are they fighting all the time? It's like they're fighting with themselves all the time. What are they always fighting? Oh, I got to confess the word. I got to confess the word. In Jesus' name. I'm not angry. I'm not fearful. You know why they have to do that? Because those cells in their body from different experiences they've had in their life are just, you know, speaking fear because they got memories of fear and they haven't got them cleansed yet and washed yet. Not that they don't love God. It's not that they're trying really hard to serve Jesus, but they struggle and battle with all these things. Why? Because the memories have not been cleansed and washed by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And get new memories engrafted. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you just knew that you were receiving memories from heaven? Well, you do when you receive the engrafted word of God. And I believe that when you eat the communion, when you drink his when you eat his body and drink his blood, I believe that somehow, some way, it's happening. Oh, we got to start believing this, friend. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not this. I don't have any religious connection to anything. I listen to what God. I don't even listen to doctors very much. I listen to God. This is just the way God does me. If you don't do it this way, it's okay. I listen to what God tells me, and then I go to doctors and find out who's got the truth about it. If they found any, you know, okay, here's the truth I found. Let's look for a doctor who's found this and see if they really did find it, and then get confirmation. I don't listen to, you know, oh, these people, they are definitely, they've been around 45 years, and they got medical advice, and they got understanding. I'm going like, who gives a rip about those guys? I don't, thank God for them. I mean, they got lots of education, Randy. Don't you know you need to listen to these people? I'm going, yeah, no, I don't. Because that's not the way it works for them. It may work for you that way. That's okay. But don't try to force me to receive things from the way you get them. I get it like this. It gets engrafted in me. God speaks it to me. And then I go looking for confirmation. Yeah, that's what happens. And reading the Word does help, of course. You read the Word, and you don't realize it, but the Holy Spirit goes in there and takes some of that word out of your what you've been reading and quickens it or brings it to alive and makes it flesh of Jesus, makes it living, breathing flesh of Christ, and imparts it into that part of your life that you need new memories, that you need new thoughts. You need something in there besides that thing crying to you, oh, I'm not afraid. Or just impart, just get that cleansed and washed away, and then impart Jesus on there, and Jesus say, oh, yeah, there you go. I only do what I see my Father do. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn it. Yeah, and that's my heritage. That's my inheritance. Hallelujah. And that word will save your soul, friend. It'll change the way you think. It'll move the way you don't have to struggle and battle and always say, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. 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 But let me tell you something. Okay, if you don't do that, that's your business. And if you get thought, you think that's the only way to do that. But let me just hopefully open up another way for you, possibly, that may give you your real miracle. And that is to receive the engrafted word of Jesus that by his stripes I was healed. And let that engrafting inside you speak for itself. Let it come alive inside of you. And let that word, let that flesh that's engrafted in your soul begin to resonate and speak forth the glory of the Father and say, yeah, honey, yeah, baby doll, you are healed. You are healed. You were healed. And now it is yours because now you got it because Jesus paid for it. Now you've got a memory of it. Now you know that this actually happened, that he actually did die for your sins. He actually did pay for your sicknesses. He actually did pay for your diseases because now you actually have a memory connected to it because you actually received the flesh and body and blood of Yeshua, the Son of Living God, engrafted into you by the Holy Ghost. And believe me, when he speaks from there, your soul gets saved. And then when your soul starts getting saved or changed, or losing that fear, losing that fear that I'm going to die, losing that fear that this disease is going to take me down, losing this fear that this fear is going to take me down, losing that I'm going to lose all my money, losing that I'm going to lose all my, and you start wrestling with that, now you receive the engrafted word of the living God that is there to change your mind, renew it, bring it forth. Now you don't struggle anymore because you only got one thing speaking to you. My beloved, I wish above all things, oh, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper, friend? Only one way, the engrafted word from the Holy Ghost of the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when he comes inside you, just like when Jesus, there was nothing in him that Satan had. There was nothing in him that contradicted the Father. There was nothing in him. And when you, every cell in his body, completely totally obey the Father every moment. And when you just get a little bitty inkling, one little cell of his cell, it don't take a lot. Oh, it'll change everything the way your mind is thinking. It'll change everything. And you're going to wake up and you're going to go, oh, my God, I am healed. It's not like I'm healed. Yes, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. No, it's like I am healed. I am healed and delivered. Oh, praise the Lord. I am free. No, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. In the name of Jesus, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. That's panic talk. That's not positive confession. It's the gentle, kind, loving voice of Jesus. It's memories. How he did it. Imparted into you, literally, by the Holy Ghost. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not even talking about communion. Communion even more so. Even the same thing. Hallelujah. Friend, I hope we're getting this. I'm getting it. I'm starting to get it. And I think we're all getting it. We're going to see miracles happen. It's going to be easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's like, it's not going to be some big heart, oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And like, I walked this one lady around. I was in Romania. I thought you guys about this. I walked, she was bent over. I think all of her life, I can't remember, many, many years, bent over, just literally bent over. I mean, she looked at the ground when she walked. She didn't look at anything else. And I walked her and walked her and walked her and walked her. I don't know how long, 15 minutes, I don't know. I'm thinking, God, I'm sweating. You know, this thing doesn't look like it's going to work. I thought I was going to get ready to give up. The Lord said, just go work, just one more time. So I one more time, and everybody's here with me, and they're praying, and we're believing God, and I'm sweating, and I'm like going, dear God, I don't think I'm supposed to be sweating this much. So these miracles are happening. He said, yeah. Yeah, you got that right, but, you know, okay. And about that time, she stood straight up, and everybody knew her there. I think I got it on video somewhere. Everybody knew her. She stood straight up, and she was shocked. As shocked as anybody was, and so I sure enough was. I went, oh my Lord and my God, this is amazing. Oh yeah, that's our Jesus, man. So we got to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, expressions of evil. James 1:21. That's how we receive the engrafted word. There's a process, and humbly accept the implanted or engrafted word inside of us to save our souls, to save our bodies. And when your soul gets saved, or when your soul gets renewed, or when your soul gets that engrafting, then it starts speaking to your body, and your body starts realizing the blood, body and your blood. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins. You ever felt guilty about something? You didn't really know what you did wrong, but you feel guilty. Anybody ever experienced that? They think it's a demon. Well, maybe it has something to do with demons, but I think it's more has to do with the bloodline and the guilt of, you know, our fathers who didn't get right with God, maybe. You know, we don't, not all of them did. I don't know. Everybody's got to save them up in their life. I hope they did. But, you know, even if they did get saved, not knowing to get their sins forgiven. So you got that stuff in your being, in your blood, and it's crying after you, guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. That's what we need to pray for him and believe God. Get your communion out if you would. We're going to take the body and the blood of Christ tonight. And I want you to believe with me. God's going to give you, where you're struggling with believing God for your miracle, whatever miracle that is, whether it's physical, mental, whatever it is. But as Christ engrafts, or tonight as we take communion, you eat his body and drink his blood, and therefore his body going through every cell of your being will speak peace and forgiveness and love and mercy and healing as it goes through your little physical body. It'll speak to you, friend, because you're eating the body of Jesus. And the body of Jesus speaks nothing but mercy and grace. He said, I didn't come to judge. I came to bring love and mercy and grace. That's the body you're eating. That's the one you're eating. He's not trying to bring judgment on you. He may bring judgment on yourself, but he's not trying to bring it on you. He said, I came to save. I came to deliver. I came to heal. I came to love. And when his body goes through your being, after you eat this bread tonight and drink his blood, it's going to wash you. It's going to cleanse you. It's a supernatural miracle. That's why Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11:4. We've got to activate this. I'm really believing God that we're going to really get a hold of this and really see changes in our lives. Amen. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. I know that's what you want. That's what we all want. Therefore, when you examine yourself, that's how you examine yourself. Do you really want this? It's like Judas. Judas was a deceiver. Judas took communion and died. You know why? Well, because he was deceiving. He was all the whole time. He's going to deny Jesus. He's going to turn him in. He's not believing in what Jesus is saying. He's believing in his own stuff. When you do that, and you're eating contradictively, you don't really have, the truth. You don't really want the truth. You don't really want Jesus to be Lord in his life. You're just there to kind of like get your own way, do your own thing. Then it turns on you, according to the Bible. Right? That's why you got to be sincere and honest. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you didn't sin 5 minutes ago. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being honest with yourself, being honest with God. If you're honest and you're a real, real bad sinner, well, hallelujah. Guess what? You can take communion. Because you want to be free, He wants you free too. He will do it. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to go to 11, verse 23. And I'm going to go in the English Standard Version tonight for some reason. I'm not even sure why exactly. That's what I'm going to do. All right. What Paul the Apostle said, if you have your bread there, you have your, as we pray, we're going to believe that it's going to become the body of Jesus, that it is the body of Christ. Amen. It's like the Bible said. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just lift it up and say, like Paul the Apostle said, he received from the Lord what he also is delivering to us, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And he gave thanks and broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We partake right now in Jesus' name. Take of the body of Jesus. Partake of the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every memory in his body of purity, of loveliness, of glory, of wholeness, of forgiveness, of Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That's a memory within his body. Hallelujah. He also remembers when his body was buried and how sin was buried. And then 3 days later when he rose from the grave, the justification came through the resurrection. I read that today in Romans. Justification comes through resurrection. He paid for our transgressions through the cross. Hallelujah. Well, we lift up the cup in Jesus' name. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. In my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that you are forgiven. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that you can be healed. Again, and again, and again. Hear the angels singing that mankind can be born again. Hallelujah. Forgiven, cleansed and washed. Friend, you are cleansed and washed of your sins. The sins of the fathers are cleansed and washed from your life, washed away in Jesus' name by the blood of the Lamb. Washed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Made whole. In Jesus' name. Every memory of Jesus' body. Everything he did. Every healing. Every miracle. He said he healed all manner of sickness and diseases. The reason he did that was so it would all be registered in the cells of his body in memories. And when you eat his body, doesn't matter what disease and sickness you have, his body, when he healed every manner of sickness and disease, was registered and said that it is done. In other words, when he done it in his body, it was going to be done for you when you eat his body. It's done for you. Because it was done then when he did it. And then on the cross, he finished it. Then rose from the grave 3 days later, justified. Resurrection brings justification. Justification is just as if you never did it. Yeah, I read that today in Romans. Hallelujah. Romans 4:25 is where I found it. Jesus, who was delivered up for our transgressions, in other words, the cross, delivered up to the cross for our transgressions, our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Justification is just as if you never did it. That's where the memory is now washed away of that sin. Hallelujah. And the new memory is put in there. Amen. You are healed. You are delivered. You are forgiven. You are blessed. No more of this battle of, in Jesus' name. Oh, no. In Jesus' name. My thoughts. In Jesus' name. No, I'm not going to take that. Those memories. No. Jesus' name. That's over, friend. You got the body of Jesus in you crying out. You are forgiven. Literally. And now just let go of that disease. Now you can let go of that sickness. Now you can just let it go. I just let it go. All the memories go. The suffering. Jesus, you give me the power to forgive so I can relive. I can relive. I can be renewed. I don't have to live in the old anymore. I'm living in the new Jesus. Jesus who all things made, all things new. You are forgiven, my beloved brethren and sisters, in Jesus' name. You are the beloved of the Father. The love of God dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. You are healed. You are forgiven. You can keep on living because you've been forgiven. Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. For the glory of the Father. He's your Father now. That's one thing about the cells of Jesus, the body of Jesus. It speaks to you and says, "Yeah, God, he's my daddy, he's my papa, he's my father." That's why we know he's our Father now, friend, because that's what Jesus' body said. That's what Jesus' body, he knew he came from the Father. Therefore, his cells did nothing but say, "God is my daddy, my father." All right. Awesome. Let's get ready to pray over offerings tonight. Thank you for being with us. And hopefully you guys are getting some understanding of what's going on. And I know I am. I'm starting to understand things. Pretty cool. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our money situation. Really cool. What we have in our bank account for the building. So get ready for that. Kind of where we're at on all that. Just a moment. Right. Let's check some things here. I'm looking around a little bit. We have been having money coming in, and also we've had money from that we've been saving up through tithes and offerings. And at tithes and offerings coming in, we've had money coming in for people giving building fund money and plus giving extra building fund money. And also we've had people like Noel and others who have, when people put building fund on their offering, it doubles because of that. Like she gave $500, really worth $500, but $500. And when it reached $500, then it kind of ended. And then whoever gave, up to $500, that $500 would be added. Her $500 got added to that $500, making $1,000. All right, so we did that, and then we've been doing that continuously for, 5 weeks now? And I don't know the exact number after tonight. I'm know next week what this week's is. But altogether, including what we've saved and kept back for the building, we have in the bank, as of today, over $60,000. Like I said, some of that was from offerings and tithes that we kept back for the building and saved it and have been saving it. Here and there. And so I don't know exactly what the building fund money is at this moment because it changed again tonight, as everybody gave. But it's been very, very interesting, to say the least. And now altogether with that, and we'll give more of the details next week, it's $60,000, a little over $60,000 in the bank for the building fund. Isn't that awesome? $60,000. Yeah, that's cash. And it's a little more than that, but we'll get it all exact details over here. Pretty well detailed. It changes all the time, but anyway, that was very interesting. And so we're very excited about that. And So I told you I would tell you about that tonight. So there you go. God is good. Thanks everybody for giving and everything you're doing. Praise God. Really been awesome. We are getting money for a building. It's just really for the studio there that I've showed you guys since you guys pictures of it. So it's really, really interesting how it's all happening. I'm very excited about it. So grateful to God for everyone who's helped us with that. And as we continue the building fund situation, that does help because it doubles everything. When people get $50, it turns into $100 or $5 turns into $10. $500 turns into $1,000. And so some of you may want to, if God gives you an extra bit of money, you might want to do like Noel did and say, like she gave $500 and then made a challenge that whoever gives up to $500, she would match that. Some of you may want to do that too. In fact, some of you have, that's what you've done. And I really appreciate that. And that really does help. That way we can keep on doing it. And, and that way it really truly gets doubled. So it's really cool. I never thought double would be like this. Did y'all? I never thought double would be like this. I always thought I wouldn't try double would work. But this is one of the ways it's working. Double for your trouble. Double for your money. Praise God. And that is in the bank right now. And a little more than $60,000 for the building fund in the bank at this moment. Yeah, so that's really cool. All right, awesome. All right, let's pray over offerings tonight. Hope I haven't forgotten anything. Hope I'm doing okay. So nobody's keeping me straightened out tonight. I don't think. Let me see here. Maybe you are. Oh, yeah, the building fund. Oh, yeah, okay, so. I guess you did. Noel says, yay, on the building fund. Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. And we'll get more details on the building fund part and all that as we go along here. But, I think it's exciting. I mean, $60,000, over $60,000 for just for that. That's pretty cool. The building fund increased that, what we had there, and I don't have the details right now on that. I tried to get that detail this week, but I just got distracted. I got a lot of different things going on. But I heard you tell you about what we have in the bank tonight for the building fund, and that's it. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, if you want to give tonight into PGN, you're welcome to do that. You can go to randychandler.com on your phone or your computer, either one. And go to randychandler.com, C-H-A-N-D-L-E-R, randychandler.com, on your computer or your phone, and give. If you want to make the building fund, you can double the money on that. All right. And we'll pray over tonight. Don't have anything to give. You know, we pray for people all week long, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Wednesdays is our biggest prophetic night where we prophesy. We don't do much talking on Wednesdays. If you're missing out on that, you might want to try it. If you can't get there on Wednesdays, let me know. And we prophesy to people all week long. But we do a lot more talking on Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday, all we do is prophesy. One after the other. Go from one person to the next. As you know. So it's really cool to build up the Lord and to engraft the living word into people's souls by the Holy Spirit through the prophetic realm. It's an engrafting process. Amen. That's why I think the prophetic is so powerful, because it's literally an engrafting process by the Holy Spirit that is really amazing how it works. All right? I know we have a lot of people listening to us by computer, by phone, by, calling to the show and listening by phone. That way, some people get on their phone and get on to blogtalkradio.com and listen, there. But they don't call in, because some people's phones, they get charged for that. So that has nothing to do with me. I don't charge anything for anything, ever. So if your phone is charging you, that's your phone. Talk to your phone company. If not, I don't have anything to do with any of that. Well, somebody asked me one time, I'm getting charged by my cell phone company. Is that the new way PGN is making money? I said, how can PGN make any money? Go talk to your phone company about that. I was almost got insulted over that, but I tried not to. PGN charging you that? Talk to your phone company. They were embarrassed, I think, but whatever. Yeah, we have nothing to do with any of that. But some people, because of that, have to listen by computer or get on their phone, not calling in by their phone, but get on the lovetalkradio.com and listen like that, and then call in when they can after that. They want to get personal ministry. Okay. All right. Welcome. So we are here. We're going to pray for offerings right now. Thank you, Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. More $5 building fund. Put it into the building fund. That makes it $10. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the life-giving arrows. Life-giving arrows. Wow. I think arrows have to do with destiny, like an arrow, like a bow and arrow, arrows have to do with destiny, I don't understand arrows that much. Just when I heard that, I go, oh, no, I don't know anything about that, but the Holy Spirit does. An arrow has to do with when God shoots forth an arrow, into destiny, has a destiny about it, and so there's something about your destiny. God is shooting you forth right now, Donald and Tanya. Hang on a second. Yeah, he's shooting you forth. Very interesting. That is a very interesting word. Right out of my mouth, just boom, arrows. Interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard that word before. Maybe I have. I really don't know. Hallelujah. Okay. Hang on a second here. All right. Come back here. Talking to my computer and my phone. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing. You can be born again. Okay, just a moment here. Sorry. Okay. All right. Give me a minute here. Thank you. Okay. Shooting forth the arrow is great. Okay. Yes, I will. Yes, Jesus, we give you the glory. All right, I'm going to give you a second here. All right, okay. Things change by the moment. You're all doing the show here, so you have to give me some moment here to things get rearranged. Okay, there we go. All right. So, shooting forth the arrow, your purpose is being shot forth. Hallelujah. Not sure how that, you know, what the interpretation of that would be, except destiny. Your destiny is being shot forth. So that's encouraging. Yeah. All right, Donald, honey, God bless your building fund. Andrea, $5 building fund. Thank you, Andrea, for that $5. That makes it $10. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless Andrea tonight, God. We thank you for encouraging her, for the stars, the constellation of the stars. Yeah, I don't know what that means, constellation of the stars. Maybe they're speaking of something. You might check out the constellation of the stars right now. There's something there, you know. I don't understand that either. God, you're speaking to me words I don't understand on that, aren't you? I got a feeling. And so, so something about that, things lining up, you know, things like in the heavens, like that's like in the heavenlies, so it is in heaven. You start praying, you know, a new way. That's what's happening in the stars. It may have something to do with angels. Michael the archangel, I know we see in Revelation, what is it, 11? 12, where he's wrestling, he's fighting with the angels, the devil, and casting Satan down. So I don't know if that has something to do with that. I'm not sure, but the constellation of stars, whatever that is, may speak a message or something. I'm not sure about what's going on in the heavens. And I can imagine the stars would be affected in the heavens, Andrew, if Michael's going to battle and whooping up on Satan. I mean, you know, but something going on with that. So I pray and ask the Lord to tell you about that one. That's an odd one to me, an unusual word. Yes, it is. All right. Maureen, $5. God bless you, Maureen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We just bless her tonight. God, we thank you for increasing her and multiplying her. Father, we thank you for that that calling in her life, that fascination with the kingdom of God, that fascination with the Father. God is giving you a fascination with the Father. It's like there's something in you God's unlocking or going to unlock or has unlocked. About a fascination with the Father, with the Father, what the Father's really like. This word sounds really familiar, but it's so because when you see what the Father's really like, then, you know, when we have a husband or family or whatever, we have, men in our life, you know, that somehow, you know, we connect what our image of the Father is and our image to men, you know, whether it's a pastor or a leader or whatever it is. So there's something about the image of God with the Father that he's really implanting within you. Like Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. So in other words, when he had the right image of the Father, when he had the right Father image, he could see what the Father was doing. Right? Seeing means knowing or, you know, just experiencing. thoughts and knowings. You know, when you know something, you just know it. You can't explain how you know it. You just know it. And it's a beautiful thing that, to know that you know something. And Jesus said, you know, my sheep will know my voice. So it's like I sense this thing of you knowing. You know, I figured out, I'm struggling in the battle, and all of a sudden, like, we all struggle in battle at times to figure out, you know, what's going on. We get stressed out, get anxiety and stress going on. When we get in anxiety and stress, that means we're trying to figure it out ourselves. Every time we're in anxiety and stress, that means we're trying to figure it out ourselves. It happens to me, it happens to everybody. But when you're not worried, when you're not, you know, when you're giving it to Jesus every day, I think, who was it that told me that? I think it was Mahogany told me that one. Was it Mahogany? I don't know who that was. Tell me that. That was very awesome. Really, really awesome. And you just kind of, so every time we start stressing, it's because, and we're trying to figure it out ourselves, instead of, you know, when we let it happen, instead of struggling and striving, when we let it happen, our spirit man just automatically exists, because we're not hindering it by struggling and striving. You know, and I deal with this stuff all the time, you know, on different levels. Some levels I'm prophesying, I feel at home with that, but I don't stress it up that much. It just flows, and I just go. But there's areas that I'm insecure in or don't know about, and that I struggle and strain trying to figure it out. You know, so that's kind of what I'm saying is, but as you grow in things, you enter into that thing where the stress, you don't try to figure it out. You just trust him and learn to do what he says. You make a mistake. You know, he doesn't really care if you make a mistake. He knows you're going to make a mistake. He's already paid the price for mistakes. And not being afraid to make mistakes is he already paid for them. You know, he might as well make a few. I don't encourage people to make mistakes, but they're paid for, man. Woman, they're paid for. Right? So yeah, God's setting you free and giving you this image of the Father that's really beautiful and really awesome. All right, Sally, $7 from London, UK. Thank you, Sally. I'm so glad that you're part of our life. Thank you, Jesus, for the light that shines around her head. I thank you for, I see a light shining on your head. You know, I don't know if it's you're getting enlightenment from God, or you're the pressure, learning how to give thanks to God takes the pressure off, and when you take the pressure off, you know, you see somebody when they're stressed and strained. You know, every time I would be stressed or strained, my mama would be the first one that would say, "What are you strained about, Randy?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" And I know you. I gave birth to you, boy. I know when you're strained. What are you struggling with? And I have to think about it a minute. Okay. Sometimes I wouldn't tell her, you know, that I wouldn't know. She was nosy. She wasn't really nosy. She was like a mama dog. She sniffed some anxiety going on. She wanted to help me overcome it. That's really the truth. But I always thought she was nosy. But she just was like a mama dog, sniffing out the anxiety in me and trying to help lick it away. Anyway, so mothers always try to help. So when you walk in that thing of no stress, when you don't, like me, she said, "Why are you feeling so stressed out about that?" The countenance of my face obviously was showing that. But when you have a countenance of light, that means that your easy. My burden is light. You know, I'm not like heavy down, loaded down with a bunch of stuff. And I see you just walking in that more and more all the time, and the grace of God, working undeserved, unmerited favor, knowing that, you know, he's just with you and for you and in you. And just knowing that, you know, becoming aware of that at a whole other level. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Shalanda. We just bless Shalanda tonight, God. We thank you for the fear and reverence of God in her, God, that's coming forth. As she listens to you out of a fear and reverence of awe of God, but not out of a fear of loss or fear of, you know, she has the fear and reverence of God is knowing that you know that your Father knows what's best, and you don't. That's what Jesus is going through. Not my will, but my will be done, because Father, you know best. It's like that. I see a song being right up in your spirit. Father knows best. He knows best for me. Father knows best. He knows best for me. Yeah. So as the Father knows best for you, I let that reverence of awe and respect, knowing that just like Jesus, when he said, "Never let not my will, but thy will be done," it was reverence of awe. The Father wasn't like, "Oh no, if I don't do this, I'm going to go to hell." You know, it was more of, you know, I'm going to displease my Father, because he knows better. So I'm going to be in awe of him, not be in awe of myself, but be in awe of him and trust him and know that he knows better than I do and that I do what he says because I trust him. And then eventually your feelings and your emotions get lined up with that, as you know. Yeah, Mahogany, $10 building fund. Pray for Dominic. Well, we just pray for Dominic. God, we thank you, God, for just breaking that thing off the males in the family line. Just bring a blessing. God, we just thank you, Lord, for men in that family line, in Jesus' name, and Dominic's family line to be blessed. Not just, you know, be religious or know God, but have fellowship with Jesus. Know the Lord. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is know the Lord. It's not about knowing the Bible and knowing how to, you know, sing and do things. You know, it's knowing the Lord. So I thank you, Jesus, that Dominic will come to know you, Jesus, in obedience to you and a willingness to obey you and knowing that you love him, God. That you love the world. You so love Dominic that you gave your life, you gave your son in Jesus' name. And let him see that in a pure, innocent, childlike way like never before. And the beauty of it and the love to it. And bless Mahogany, God. And I thank you, Jesus, for Mahogany, that you're teaching her how to be the priest of the family and stand in line and believe God to speak peace, that God's going to bless us, God's going to meet the needs. And sometimes we have to put people in position to get in position. Sometimes we have to withdraw from being the leader of something so someone else will get in the leadership position. It's painful to withdraw from leadership. You know, sometimes you got women that are stronger than men. Sometimes they wonder why the men are lining up. And the other way around, too. Sometimes with a woman, you have to let, you know, women have certain things they need. They need to be loved. They need to be, you know that they're loved. And they know that helps a lot of things for sure. Right, and so God's showing you the order of how to deal with things. Sometimes you have to put God's going to allow you to put Dominic in a position to step up, and he will. He's a blessing in Jesus' name. And then Gary Mary, $18 building fund. Let's see, we got an email here. There's some email here with a scripture. I'll just read it. Building fund. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. And then, I just did something with it. Where did it go? What did I just do here? The email just went kapooch. Gary, your email, I touched the email the wrong way and it just went kapoochy. Oh, I know what I can do. I can go to PayPal to be there. It'll be there. Hang on a second. I got it now. I got it now because I'm going to PayPal. Everything gets sent to my emails. And give me a second here. I want to read this. Here we go. Yeah, I got it on PayPal too, so here it is. Okay, thank God. All right. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Revelation 1, chapter 1, 5 and 6, NIV. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us, and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Shalom, Gary. Amen. Happy Resurrection Day. Amen. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Praise God. There, I found it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for Gary and Mary tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, you know, Gary sent us, if some of you haven't checked your text, I sent you a video of a miracle that Gary sent me of a pastor who had the same basic issue that Gary had and supernaturally got his voice returned. I sent you guys all this, but some of you responded. And so we're, I thank you, Lord, for giving Gary a taste of the supernatural. Giving Gary, you've given him a taste of it. And God, I thank you that because you've given him a taste of the supernatural, that you're reactivating the taste for the supernatural by the taste of the body of Jesus, by the taste of the body and the blood of Jesus. By tasting, eat, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's kind of what you just taste and see. I see you somehow tasting and seeing. Because when you taste of the Lord, Gary, you see. Like when I taste of him, when I go and he gives me revelation, I can taste it. Everything in me can taste every little fiber of him. It's like, wow, I come alive. You know, and I see things that I've never seen before. I know things I've never known before. And it just happens instantaneously. And I thank you, Jesus, for that with Gary, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that he's going to taste and see, hallelujah, of the miracle realm and the glory realm of God, the glory place. And she's like Moses said, you know, I want to see your glory, God. Show me your glory. He'd seen miracles. He'd already brought him out of Egypt, and it was a big, huge, miraculous thing going on everywhere, miracles everywhere, every day. And yet he was still hungry for, show me your glory, God. And then God walked past him, you know, and he saw the backside of God. Yeah, so, amen, amen, hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for Mary, God. Thank you, Lord, for Mary, God, that she's a builder. There's a builder inside of her. She builds. She wants to build people up. She wants to build them. There's a builder inside you, Mary, God. I'm sure you got to build like Paul the Apostle built, you know, built people up, built people, prophecy builds people up. There's a building thing inside of you that God is going to awaken that a builder in you to build up people when they get down, to build them up, you know, to build up Gary, to build up, you know, whoever. Family members and who are just to build them up, to build a building, and unless the builders build in the Lord, they build in vain, right? Unless the laborers labor, the laborers labor in vain if the Lord is not building the house. So I'm showing you how to not waste your time, how to get very specific, you know, prayers and, you know, learning how to develop that to where you speak precisely and pray precisely. And build things on the Word of God by prayers and by information. Amen. All right, Greg from Arizona, $20. Yes, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for a wife, God. We thank you, Lord, that his wife is not manifested yet. Lord, we just believe you. I thank you, Jesus, that God, I thank you for this. This girl has a nice figure. Thank you, Gary, Mary. Has a nice figure. Has a nice. You know, you're going to be, you know, sometimes you can love somebody and not be really that attracted to them as far as their, every part of them. But this girl, you're going to be attracted to every part of her. You know, it's better to marry someone that you're attracted to every part. It doesn't happen every time. You know, people say, people say all kinds of things. But it's really nice when you love every part of them. You know, So God's wanting you to make sure that you when you marry someone that you love you know at least most of them, if not all parts of them, and their mind, their intellect, their spiritual life, even their body, you know, all that makes a difference, you know, how they look, their appearance, the whole thing. And I thank you, God, that you're bringing him somebody who will meet all that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That you know, God is going to open up your eyes to what true beauty is, Greg, with a woman, with a, you know, a female, with a bride. Open up what true beauty is, and open that up for you in Jesus' name. Let it be done, Lord. We seal it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Chris from Texas, $25. Thank you, Chris. In Jesus' name, we just bless Chris tonight, God. We thank you for the country folk people. Yeah, country folk. I'm reaching the down to earth people, everyday folk who just like, you know, like my dad. My dad was just a down to earth country folk person who was loved Jesus and loved God, was a very spiritual, good Baptist person, really loved the Lord, you know, gave his life to, you know, be so. But he was a visit down to earth. I mean, he, like some of my friends who know me, and so I would take them to my hometown. They'd meet my mom and dad, and they get it, and we would drive away, and they would be in the car talking. And they're like, "What happened to you? You know, like you're not like them at all." I'm going, "I don't know. I like them at all in so many ways. They're just from down to earth and so whatever." And I'm just like, you know, just didn't fit into that thing for some reason. And anyway, but down to earth people, you know, they just want things that are down to earth, but they want godly things, holy things. And I see God really having an outreach with you to just touch people with just being who you are, being yourself in Christ Jesus, and watching the love of God pour through you, the love of Christ, the evangelistic part of you, just wanting to people to get touched by God at one degree or the other in Jesus' name, and be able to prophesy to them without saying, "Let's say the Lord done," you know, just talking to people, building people up, telling them things, you know, and just to get by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and I just release that prophetic anointing inside you in Jesus' name. Come forth in my brother Chris in Jesus' name. All right. Angela from the Carolinas, Atlanta. Angela, $25 building fund. Thank you, Angela, for that. Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your prayer life. I see you pressing in the spirit in your prayer life, in a new articulation, in a new awareness of how and what pleases God. Because the Bible says that by faith, only by faith can we please God. And so God's showing you how to, you know, I just see your prayer life. I see you praying. I see you, you know, like you've been laboring. Been in the season of laboring to enter in. We labor, we enter in. We labor, we enter in. Once you enter in, you're in. You don't have to labor anymore. Once you enter in, it's all just like being in the Garden of Eden. You may do some hoeing and some chopping some dirt up, but it's all glory, man. The glory. And God's showing you how to live in the glory, how to live in the Garden of Eden where, yeah, they work, but their work was no sweat, right? And so your prayers and that kind of thing. My yoke is easy. I burn this line. And just feeling from your spirit, knowing, like emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, in every area of your being, knowing God. Knowing. Not just spiritually, not just emotionally, but every area, mentally, your feelings, everything. Because when you're feeling from your spirit, man, then you're feeling what God feels. So, and God is a big feeler. Now, if we're feeling from our own hurt feelings, that's a different thing. But we're feeling from our spirit man. Our spirit man has nothing even to be perfected with. Your spirit man cannot even be renewed. He's been totally branded. So God's showing you how to live in that place. It's very beautiful, very, very amazing. LaShun, $25. Thank you, LaShun. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just bless LaShun tonight. We thank you, Lord, Father, for favor for her. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to manifest in her, God. The love of the Father be poured out through her, God, in Jesus' name. Sometimes, you know, you can have a call in your life until you start working it. People think that since they got a call and everything just automatically happens. Well, it doesn't most of the time. Some things may develop easier than others, but most of the time it's a matter of working it. That's when we're going to be content with, you know, like when I first started pastoring, you know, many years ago, you know, I had, you know, 10, 15, 20 people. And, you know, when I first started church, and Lord said, "I want you to learn to preach to these people first, minister to these people. And then as you do, then I'll increase you." So I had to learn. I learned how to develop with the few little people that I had. And then God, Christian had 100 people, and it just kind of grew and little by little, because you learn to minister with what you have. And it's learning how to flow. If you have one person, you flow to. You learn how to flow to that one person. That's why I can prophesy to people individually, get them on the line, call up the name, and prophesy to them individually, because I learned how to prophesy to one person. I learned how to minister to one person. Yeah, and God showed me how to do that. And that, when you do that, then God can bring another person, and another person, and another person, and multiply and increase you in Jesus' name. Yeah. So you're doing good at that. God's really showing you how to be faithful in that, loyal in that, loyal to Him, glory to God, and giving glory to God in Jesus' name as you do. You're born to give glory to God, but you've been created by God to give glory to Him. And you're doing a great job. Keep it up in Jesus' name. God's increasing. Manjula, $30. Thank you, Manjula, for that $30. And thank you, Jesus, Father, for the peace of God, that peace, God giving you the authority, that showing you the authority realm of how to speak peace over things, that God wants to have peace. Sometimes he loves a good storm. Oh, Manjula, God loves a good storm, man, because He likes to show off how Jesus can walk on the water when it's all stirred up. So, you know, God's showing you how to enjoy the storms because it's an opportunity to walk in the supernatural, right? Yeah, and when there's, but also when there's a big storm and God wants to show up, He said, yeah, I want you to speak peace. I want you to stop the storm just for my glory. It's not about stopping the storm because it's going to tear us apart and we're all going to drown like the disciples thought, right? They're trying to wake Jesus up. Oh, we're all going to die. You know, he looked at a storm. Jesus didn't look at a storm like that. He looked at it, whatever, I can walk on it. I can, you know, whatever. Because he just looked at it like, you know, what does God want to do in this storm? You know, you want to call peace to it or you want to walk on the water about it? Either way, it doesn't upset me. And I see God really showing you how to walk in that realm of power, authority, peace, and just knowing that it doesn't matter whether it's going to be great tribulation or a little tribulation. You know, bring it on, because we enter in. The Bible says we enter in through tribulation. We enter into the kingdom through tribulation. That's what the Bible says, through trouble. Amen. And so when we get a taste for that, like Job got double from, he tasted of a horrific storm in his life, but he gave the glory to God, and what happened, he got double for everything. Everything. All right, Bianca. Thank you, Bianca, $35. Thank you, Jesus, for Bianca. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Bianca. We thank you, Lord, for her heart, for the heart you've given her, God, to speak from her heart, to speak from her heart. If you're like me, man, Marja, I can't, Bianca, I can't speak from my head much, from just knowledge that I have. Some people have a gift to do that. I think it's really awesome. I wish I could do it. But I have to speak from my heart and the knowledge that's real to me. And God's really showing you how to walk in that, to speak from your heart from what's real to you, what becomes real to you. And the more you start giving it out, even if it's a little here, a little there, you know, talking to the person here, talking to the person there, the more it begins to be like wine. It begins to become more valuable and more potent, more powerful. That increases the potency and the power of it the more you learn to give it. And then, yeah, so, we turn our water gets turned into wine by pouring it out. So we have to go through the pouring out experience. You know, it's just water, but, oh, wait a minute, no, it's wine. It turns into wine. It turns to a higher level as we pour out. And God really showing you how to pour out from your heart. And your mind, too, but your heart, you know, the heart thing. Like, for me, when I prophesy speaking, it's coming, it's just like a flow comes out of me, out of my heart, and I just open my mouth. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I just start saying stuff. Well, that doesn't sound very good for Rosella. You just start saying stuff? Yeah. That's it. Just start pouring out the water. It turns into wine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is the one that does that, not me. And I got to be willing just to pour out the stuff, man. Just plain old water, you know, hey, plain old prayer, plain old speaking. I just, you know, I pour it out. I trust Him. I believe Him. He's going to turn it into something blessing, something good. It happens by the grace of God, you know. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Amen. All right. Jayla, $40.40. 40. Ain't going to come up shorty on 40. You're going to come up shorty on 40. And that's a hit record right there. My gosh. Jesus' name. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for opening up her heart, God, to this time of matching. I feel like God is matching you up. He's matching you up. He's like going, okay, brothers, angels, let's match her up. We're matching her up. God wants to match you up. yeah, match you up with a man, wants to match you up with, you know, wants to match you up with people that have the purpose and drive so they you can feed off each other. It's not just me feeding off you or you feeding off me, but we feed off each other, right? And God's going to bring you somebody that you can feed off of, that can feed off each other. Not just him feeding off you or you feeding off him, but you feeding off each other. And therefore, it's a blessing. So I see this matching thing. God is like, you know, like he, you know, like some people go to these matching things for, you know, for a husband, you know, and these sites, and they try to match them up, you know. Well, I'm saying this is God matching you up. My God is matching you up, yeah, in Jesus' name. And he's building you a resume, too. That's building your resume. So, right, so understand that's what he's doing. And you'll kind of know what's happening, why you feel the way you do, why you think the way you do. He's building your resume. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Regina, $45, building fund. Pray for triple A's. All right. Thank you, Regina, for that 45. Just make that like double that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for triple A. Lord, we thank you for the girls. We just bless them, God. We thank you. God, I just speak a separation in their lives from anything that attached them to the old, to the past, to the things that have been, you know, misunderstood or things that are not even the same as they used to be. The things are just cut completely different. Lord, I thank you. I cut every string, I cut every soul tie in Jesus' name, and I speak there for the forgiveness of those of people hanging on to things that have been forgiven and forgotten and washed away in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, that misguided images in their minds. God, I thank you, Lord, for washing and cleansing by your blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. To bring restoration, bring something new, bring new thoughts, new memories, new understanding of things, God, in Jesus' name, so they can have a renewal, like a renewal going on, renewing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And bless Regina tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for Regina. I thank you, Lord, for the calling in her life. You're calling her in Jesus' name and showing her, you know, warning her of things, also letting her know that, you know, that you keep your eyes on Jesus. God has called you to walk in the supernatural realm. And really, that's all about keeping our eyes on Jesus. When Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, you know, he'd walk on the water. Walking on the water is being able to walk above, you know, the natural elements to where they don't affect you. So Peter eventually failed. Why? Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. So God teaching you how to focus. Focus is probably one of the greatest things that I've ever learned in my life. Every time I got off focus by fear of man, I talked about that before many times on the show, that God dealt with me about the fear of man. He dealt with me about my own insecurities, my own, like, you know, my own thought processes that have memories in them that feed me wrong information all the time. I have to get cleansed and washed so I can think differently so that when I'm in a struggle and a battle, the memories of Christ, what he said, what he did, what he went through, flood my mind that God's with me, he's on my side, he's my father. Those kind of thoughts come to you as you eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus or have the engrafted word of God planted in your soul. Your soul begins to change into the image of Christ, meaning that the thoughts and the intentions, that's the thing that happens. He puts not only just his thoughts, but his intentions inside you. And our thoughts and intentions are everything. So God is engrafting that into your life to give you his intentions and his purposes. Amen. And his ability to forge forward in Jesus' name and focus on the future. Focus on instead of letting people drag you back to the past. There's always people kind of drag us back. Well, you know, if you'd have been a better, worker, if you'd have been a better, we do that to each other. We do it to people, and God has shown you how to not let people do that to you, you know. Like me, I judged my mom of being a nitpicking perfectionist. Well, the truth was she was teaching me how to be a clean, responsible person. But that's the way I looked at it. So I was kind of, you know, the Lord said, what are you doing? You know, get free of that. And he had to change my understanding of things. The intentions of my mother were what I needed to see instead of what it looked like. the way she went about it was a little bit strict, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was perfect. But I judged it, the intention as being wrong. And that's where God, you know, had to turn me around. And when he did, it's amazing the connection when I started giving my mom, how that, you know, just stuff was gone between us. It wasn't her fault. It was. God dealt with me about it. When it was wiped out of my table, we got together. It's like, she's like going, something wrong, something different with you. I don't know what's going on with you. Yeah, God helped me understand you. And when he helped me understand my mom, our fellowship changed. Amazing. Yeah. It was almost scary. It was so amazing. It's a beautiful thing. So God bless you with that. Amen. Sandra, $50 building fund. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God. I thank you, Father, for the message of the anointing of the Spirit of God. The anointing, the oil, the Holy Spirit, you know, the thing that's so amazing about the memory realm about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit has been involved in everything. The Holy Spirit's been involved in everything. He knows how everything works. He knows how, you know, he has memory of everything. He knows, you know, how to create, how to do things. And so if God is imparting, you know, the anointing into your life, it's just like you're going to wake up knowing how the anointing works, knowing how God creates, knowing how God, you know, does things, you know, the ways of God, Sandra. And when you know the ways of God, you know the way, the foundation. That's why he says, you know, built from the foundation, from the foundation. Because the foundation has to do with, you know, the Holy Spirit was there, everything the way God did things, the way things happened. Because if we don't have our foundation the way God has it, then it's messed up. So he's established you in the foundation in Jesus' name, and building you upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets. And because of that, you know, the anointing to build in you, the anointing to understand and just know how the things of God work. It's not something you figure out. It's something that the Holy Spirit automatically connects to you because of the memories of how the Father, who's the head, who's the, you know, Jesus said the Father is greater than I am. You know, the Father was the organizer, the planner, and the Word, you know, the Word became flesh. Before he became flesh, he was the Word, eternal Word. Everything was done through the Word, but it was the Father's plan through the Word, and then the Holy Spirit brought it into action. And God's showing you his way, Sandra. And it's not just like it's like you do with me with the memory realm of how things have memories. How can the earth not be alive when the Bible says it's waiting for the revealing of the Son? It's like it's waiting, like it's alive. It's waiting. It has memories in it. The earth knows what the glory of God is all about. And remembers what the earth was like when it was first created. So in you, the Holy Spirit in you knows what things, how they fit, how they work, how they belong, how they happen. And all you do is you and the Holy Spirit say, let it be done according to thy word. The word what? Jesus, but the plan of the Father. Let it be done according to thy word. You know, he just needs our agreement. He's going to show you how to agree with him. Where two or more agree is touching the matter, it shall be done. Why? Because the Holy Spirit just knows how to do it, and we come into agreement with him. And he shows us how to pray, he shows us how to do, and then it's done. I know that was kind of deep right there, I think. I saw a lot of things. I'm not sure I explained that correctly, but my God, that was amazing. Foundations. Interesting. That was really interesting. I'm going to have to rehearse that one. That was a very interesting word. Wow, something's going on there with that. All right, Noel, $100, building fund. Thank you, Noel, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, Father, for favor. We thank you, Lord, to uncover all things, like the evidence thing going on, bringing in forth evidence of how things are and being able to, the scripture I'm thinking about is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there's something there about evidence not seen. Let me see. Let me quote that exactly. Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen.
again.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Go here and we'll go to this third. All right. This is 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, somehow or another, God's going to work that into your situation that you know about, that that faith is the assurance of what you're hoping for. And it's the certainty or the evidence or the conviction. Conviction means being convinced. When you look at the word convict, it means, if you probably know this, it means to convince, to be convinced. Like, to know. I see, know my belief. To be convinced. Once you're convinced, and you know something, something's been, the evidence has been brought forth, then it causes those things to be seen. Right? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So somehow it's going to work into your situation there in Jesus' name. God's going to open that up. Number one, let's go here and see what that says. Number one, two. By it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Yeah, so this has something to do with that situation. I don't even understand that completely. God has to, sometimes an impartation, it's just that, it's an impartation, and you just receive the impartation that you know, and it starts opening you up to, you know, it starts talking to you. You don't have to figure it out, isn't it? It starts talking to you. So I sense that, that scripture, somehow that word, that thing is going to talk to you. Yeah, it's going to talk to you. And when the word starts talking to you, that's when things start changing. If I'm talking the word, that's one thing. When the word starts talking to me, through an engrafting of the word, through an impartation, like I think that's what that just was, an impartation. But that's it's going to start speaking to you and giving you guidance and wisdom on how to do what the Father wants to do and not fear any, you know, negative result. All right, Nikki and Charles, $80. Then they gave $30. Then they gave $140. A building fund, that's $170. $250. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Pray for a Christian in Destiny, a place to live. Is the notes. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for that place. We just thank you, God, for giving. We just speak cleansing and washing of sins of the fathers and things that, try to keep that from happening. Father, we just speak that they, a place of dwelling, a dwelling place, Father, of security, and in Jesus' name, where they can find their way through in Jesus' name and trust God and not just, you know, trust just not just trusting people, but trusting God. You bring the life and bring those things that are not as though they, yes, things that are not as though they were, speaking those things that are not as though they were, and also, I can't think of another one. Maybe I'm going to say it. Okay. All right, speaking those things that are not as though they were, and let it be alive in Destiny's heart, Father. In Jesus' name. And yes, I speak forgiveness of sin into the Father's, into her body, into her blood. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness of the Father's sins. In Jesus' name, I release her. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk into your place of destiny. Home. Your place. All right. Home and land and all that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the home and the land, the property, God. We thank you, Father, for the whole thing, and for there's something that about houses and homes that belong to you, in Jesus' name, and I speak that those things that have been robbed and stolen to be brought back into the realm of victory, be brought back into the realm of you know, because God's covenant is that He has a home for us, a land and property that He made the whole earth, so that each one of us could have our own land, our own property. That's what Canaan is all about. God, I just thank you that they keep reminding you about that, God, that that's theirs. And the sins of the fathers that have to do with resisting that, like the sins of the fathers, people walking in the wilderness in circles, they never did enter their house alone, but their children did. Lord, we thank you that in Jesus' name, that their sins are forgiven, passed through the judgment of Jordan. In Jesus' name, where all those things are judged and forgiven and washed away, and that new generation, God, went into that place, Nikki, Charles, new generation, their children, walk into that place and actually occupy land and property in Jesus' name. Let that be done right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for Charles. God, we thank you for Charles. We thank you, Lord, for the act of forgiveness, Father, the act of impartation of forgiveness. Like when you pray over somebody, you just, they have trouble forgiving themselves. People have trouble forgiving themselves. And I'm sure you've dealt with that. I know I've dealt with that. Forgiving yourself for things and being able to speak to them. You're forgiven. Because usually the way I do it, so people don't get too offended, to say, because you've asked Jesus to forgive you, I'm going to confirm to you, friend, that you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You they're released. Even though they ask God, all you're doing is speaking it into their ear from the Lord, saying, like being Jesus to them, saying, your sins are forgiven you. Amen? Your sins are forgiven you. Get up and walk. Get up off the condemnation in Jesus' name. Eat the bread of life. Eat the bread of life, not the bread of condemnation, but bread of life, of forgiveness, of restoration in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And bless him, God. Prosper him in Jesus' name. Prosper him. Prosper his money, his pocket, the provision of Jesus. You bring it in supernaturally, God, in the name of Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, we pray for Nikki tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the unspoken request. We thank you, Jesus, for the miracle realm in her life, God, that you're bringing forth the miracle realm in her in Jesus' name, and that miracles are just going to be like being at home. Yeah, what's cooking for tonight? Tonight, Nikki, Charles, Charles, hey, what are we having for supper tonight, honey? He said, miracles. Oh, yeah, that's what we always have, miracles. Okay, that's good. Okay, we'll have some of that. And miracle what? Miracle chicken, miracle steak, miracle fish. What kind of miracle? Okay. Miracle food. The Lord just says start eating miracle food. I think communion is miracle food, right? I think, the food that we receive here on PGN, believing God, is miracle food. In Jesus' name, for other ministries, eat the miracle food. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Because we're not going to quit needing miracles for a long time. I mean, there's going to be a time when we're not going to need miracles anymore. Because in heaven, you don't need miracles. Everything's whole and complete. But yeah, we're a long way from that. Yeah, we are, in Jesus' name. So eating miracles, regular, it is special, but it's nothing special around here because we have them all the time. Yeah, the best cooking in town, miracle food. Miracle food, miracle food, miracle food. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And learn how to eat it, find it in the Word, eat it out of the Word, taste it in the Word of God. Like we're talking about being hungry and being really hungry. When I used to eat my mama's fried chicken, right? I talked about that several times. Then when I eat it, when I really, really hungry, I say, what you put in this tonight? It's really, really good, Mom. Nothing, same old thing as always. Oh, but I'm tasting it. Something's good. The gravy's better. No, same as always. Always keep it the same way. You know why? Because I was hungry, starving. And that's what happens when you eat the Word. God's bringing a new hunger so you can taste all the flavors, all the, the insights, all the, you taste the miracle in the food. Miracle food, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Nicole, $201.34. Building fund, thank you, Nicole, for that. In Jesus' name. But I just think it's like the building fund to double. Well, I just pray, God, that it's like with Job, when Job lost his family members, lost his thing. God, I thank you, God, that you just that restore and renew and rebuild, God, and you're just rebuilding. You're rebuilding. It's like you're they didn't want to build in the wilderness. God says, no, we're not going to build anything here. You're just going to have tents here. That's why they couldn't build a tabernacle there, a temple there. And a tabernacle, but the tabernacle is something they loaded up and they took with them, right? And so those things are over. It's like The reason we couldn't build before is because we weren't in the promised land. We weren't in the place of promises. Now that we're in the place of promise, then now we can build. We can establish. We can say, this is a done deal in Jesus' name. This is ours. This is ours. It can't be taken away from us unless we've delivered the willful sin over and over and over and over again for many years. Then it can be. But generally speaking, you know, we just obey God the best we know how, and it's ours forever and ever and ever. It can't be taken away from us. Right? So I thank you, Jesus, for opening that up in Jesus' name and showing Nicole, God, that she can rest, that she can sit back and believe you, that she can build now. She can begin to build her life in a way that is going to look, everything's going to look brand new, a brand new life. A brand new house, brand new thing, brand new stuff, just brand new. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen, in Jesus' name. Terrence and Tanisha, $207.47, and then $27 to pay for Ronnie. Well, we thank you for Ronnie tonight, God. We just bless Ronnie tonight, God. We thank you for every half-hearted thing that he has to deal with, half-hearted people, half-hearted things that makes him feel half-hearted. You know, the Bible says lukewarm. We can be hot or cold. The lukewarm, he spits us out of his mouth. And I see God spitting things that are lukewarm out of Ronnie's mouth in Jesus' name, and he's just like throwing them up, like vomiting them out. And that speaks of deliverance, it speaks of freedom, it speaks of, shaking off the old, entering into the new. And I thank you, Jesus, Father, for the new things that new things can be. His mercies are new every morning. And I thank you, Lord, for the mercies being new for Ronnie every morning, Jesus said, and break the oppression and the depression off and the vexing of the enemy. In Jesus' name, where he listens to the voice of hope, listens to the voice of victory, listens to the voice of, I don't have to live in half-wit, half-baked life. I can live through the fullness of God, the fullness of purpose, have a full purpose here. In Jesus' name, I don't have to live among the devil's people and live the devil's ways and live the things of religious half-baked stuff. I want the full thing in Jesus' name. You're such a hunger for that, Jesus, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for Terrence and Tanisha. I thank you for the hunger you put in them, God, to seek after you, to know you. Sometimes God lets us go hungry. Like if I don't eat, I just barely have enough breakfast, like my oatmeal, and then I don't eat like until at night, and then I'm just starving. And we go out and eat something, and it's like, oh my God, it's like everything just tastes like so glorious, like I was mentioning earlier before. So I thank you, Jesus, for sometimes when we've gone without food, we might have information, but food. Food is different than information. Information is different. And God's really going to show you guys the difference between food, information and food. Food feeds you. Food is something that when you eat real good, when we eat good food, when we eat the food made for us to eat, it has within it things that make us, cause our body to be fed, to not die. Things don't start dying off in our body. Our body lives. Our body opens up. Our body functions because the food that we eat is what feeds it. And so this is what's happening in the body of Christ. The body of Christ has not been being fed, true food. Instead, the true food has, the chemicals and the vitamins and the nutrients that actually keep a person alive where they're not starving to death. And so a lot of people are going to church to get a lot of information, but they don't have much food. They don't get any food. All they get is information. And so God's showing you guys, he's called you to cook up, have a kitchen, cook up some food, man, feeding some people, making it even taste good. Some people cook that spiritual food and make it taste, have any flavor to it, have any taste to it. Yeah, you guys are going to taste it up, flavor it up. And God's going to use that tasting, flavoring thing where people get drawn to the Word of God, drawn to what because they want this man. I'm not just eating chicken. I'm eating chicken that's got, my gosh, it's like awesome. The flavors in this are amazing, and they're healthy, and they're good. And my body's just like coming alive. I see bodies coming alive around you, guys. I see dead bodies. Wow, I see dead bodies around you coming alive. And I think that may be spiritual bodies. I'm not sure what that is. But I see dead bodies, bodies that have, I see a lot of dead bodies. Wow, that's amazing. That Yeah, I don't know if they've died because they haven't had, they've had a lot of information but no food. People die with information but no food. And so, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I just saw that in the spirit. Wow. So, yeah, feeding people food instead of it's just information. Breaking it down. I'm really sure about the people that can break down the Word of God. Break it down where when they eat it, they absorb the nutrients and the things. And it becomes food that feeds them, not just information. Food that feeds. Food that satisfies. Food that brings health. And you guys are in the health and wealth place. Health and wealth. You know, Terrence is one, Nisha the other. I don't know which one's what, but health and wealth. Health and wealth. Health and wealth, the health and wealth gospel, except according to the Bible, right? The health and wealth gospel. Yeah, according to Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. All right. Cheryl from Florida, $500. Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl, for that, and we just bless you in Jesus' name. I see God bringing you memories. Memories. There's something we're talking about. Memories. Like God bringing you, like renewing your mind, your memories. Especially in the memory realm, where your memories take on the memories of Christ. What you know, like revelation from heaven is the Word of God coming alive to you, where it's so alive that it's like you were there. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Yeah, you know what? The memories God puts in you. Or it's like you were there when He was crucified. You were there when you saw Him. It's like something in you knows that this is not just somebody saying something. It's real. It's real. It's alive. It's real alive. And you talk it like it's real alive. You know, you can tell when somebody just read a book about something and those who actually were there and saw it, because there's a whole different look on their face. It's, oh, yeah, I read this book, and, yeah, I went to there, and they had all this stuff going on and all this happened and all that. Well, you got the person that actually saw it, actually wrote the book, that actually witnessed it. It's a whole different thing. That's what John says in the book of John, First John, Second John, Third John, somewhere in John, it says, the things that we have seen and heard and witnessed ourselves. So that's what happens when the Word of God comes alive by the Holy Spirit inside of us, is that it's like we weren't there, but we go there. We weren't there, but we go there. And I see you going places in your memories, going places in your mind, going places in your spirit. And you say, where am I going? And I'm not saying you're going to go back and see Jesus die on the cross, but you're going to go, you're going to be able to see that the cross. And when you see and experience it for yourself in the spirit, and then you understand what it's all about, therefore you can partake of it. When we partake of communion, when we partake of Jesus, we're not just partaking of Him, we're partaking of who He is, and we become that. We start knowing what He knew, and that was that all people can be healed, all people can be delivered. Everyone can see, you know, can be just like Jesus. That's the reason Jesus gave His life, Cheryl, is so that we can all be Him, become like Him. You know, it's His nature, is think like Him, have His faith. The faith of Christ. That's why the disciples stumbled and struggled, because they were walking in their own faith, trying to do what Jesus' faith did. But when Jesus imparts His faith to us, His faith is what? How does faith come? By hearing. What does hearing do? It creates a memory. When you hear something, there's a memory created. So that memory gets imparted into your memory, where when you say, rise up and be healed, it's like it's Jesus through you saying it. And Christ in you, the hope of knowing that thing's actually happening, it's going to happen, and there's no question that it's going to happen. Let's say be healed, it's not just me, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory, saying it through me and in me, because the memory of Him saying it, it all gets connected, because what He did then is just as close to us as the air we breathe. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. When it says, eat my body and do this in remembrance of me, that's what's happening. It's the memories, everything that was in Christ Jesus, everything He did, it becomes part of us to where we believe like he believed. We know like he knew. We can see what the Father was doing like he saw what the Father was doing. That's what all that means. And I see God really opening you up in your memory realm and making, actually giving you memories of this so you have something to go back to, because we can go back. We can always, when you have a memory of something, you can always go back to it anytime you need it. Sometimes when you don't want it, you know, bad memories, like, I don't want that. But you go back to it anyway. With the right circumstances, provoke it, right? Happened to me. Until I get healed of it, you know? Yeah, and the memory gets changed. So God doing something in your memories and being able to impart and start seeing what Jesus saw and the way you saw it. Yeah, that's what true memory memories are about, is the impartation of the memories of Christ. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Cheryl was. Was Cheryl there? Cheryl was there when they raised up all those people from the dead. Cheryl was there when he cleansed the lepers, made them whole. Cheryl was there. He saw the blinded eyes open. Seen it through Jesus' eyes. It's not like you're seeing it as an observer. You're seeing it through Jesus' eyes. That's the difference. You're not observing it like Peter and John observed it. They saw it, and then it became alive to them later, right? Things we have seen and heard, you know, and witnessed. That, you know, then it came alive and the Holy Spirit came. But the same thing. It's like you're not an observer of that. You're like, you, when it gets engrafted into you, when his memories become yours, it's not you there watching him. It's you there in him doing it. You doing it and him doing it. I know this is deep. It's deep for me, at least. But I see this, man. I mean, I see this. That's why memories are so interfere with our victory, because the memory, you live from that memory. When you have a fear of something, you know, when I have a fear of something, you know, when something in life activates it, I have that fear. It's like I'm there doing it again, except it's right now. You know, you know what I'm saying? That fear you had 20 years ago, all of a sudden it's hitting you again, and you're like, oh, my God, I think they're going to do the same thing to me they did to me back then. Oh, my God. And you start, you know, drawing it to you. You start activating it. But that's what it does. That's what a memory does. But a good memory is also the same thing. Oh, yeah, I remember my grandpa was like that. I love my grandpa, my papa. He was awesome. Just that man reminded me of my papa. And I just love that person because I love my grandpa. You see what I mean? You connect it. You can love somebody because you have a memory of loving a person. That makes sense? I hope so. That's really awesome. Were you there when they crucified my Jesus? Yeah, we're there. That's the whole thing about all this thing I'm teaching on. I'm going to be able to explain it better and better as we go along. And then so pray for me, but I will. It's extremely, extremely important. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? All right. Okay, we got Shannon, $10. Well, we just thank you, God, for victory over Shannon. God, we thank you for marriage. We thank you, Lord, for him, his priesthood. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for him prospering and being successful, God. Just make him successful and use him as an example of success, Father, what it's like, and so he can be able to impart that to other people. You can't impart something that you don't have or that's not flowing through you. If it flows through you, that's different. But if you have ownership of it, then you can give it away. So I thank you, Jesus, for Shannon, God. I thank you for him being able to give away the things that he's conquered in Jesus' name, that you've opened up in his life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Lord, I thank you that the sins of the fathers in his life, God, are forgiven. The sins of the fathers, the disobediences, all the things that happened with the generations down by, those sins are forgiven. I speak that your sins are forgiven you in the name of Jesus Christ. They are forgiven you. Rise up and walk, my brother. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Rise up and walk. Walk into your future. Walk into your to the glory of the Father. Walk into that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The old's passing away. Behold, the new is begun today. The old's passing away. The new's begun today. In Jesus' name, I declare it and I decree it over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay. Thinking, Nikki? I was actually just going to that site when you said that. Okay, awesome. Pray for Joshua. It's for building fund. Okay, thank you. Pray for Joshua and Sue. I know that's your mommy, your mama. Let's pray for Joshua. God, we thank you, Lord. I speak forgiveness over Joshua. I speak over each person that their sins are forgiven them because of Christ, what the Lord is teaching me about the power to forgive sins. It's just kind of it's similar to when somebody says, you know, would you forgive me for what I did to you? I sinned against you. Would you forgive me of that sin? And you go, yeah, I forgive you of that sin. It's the same kind of thing that we do. It's the same kind of thing in that level. But so what we have the power to do is because all those, every person carries the blood of their fathers in them. That's a documented doctor medical fact, proven fact over and over again. So we shouldn't even be wrestling with that. What we do, we have to understand that Joshua has his own linkage to different people that you may not, that his mama may not be, you know, have linkage to. He may have, he has genetics and things that he's connected to that are part of him that you don't even have. That's why some people, some people in my family say, oh, we don't even know who you are. Who are you, Randy? You don't look like, you don't have anybody. You're like, I'm like, yeah, I know. Because you can get, you know, the genes of God knows what from past generations, right? So we don't ever know. Well, how dare you say that my father's sins have forgiven me? How do you, my grandfather, you remember telling me that grandfather, my great-grandfather was a bad person? That doesn't do that. That doesn't mean a human being. And their genetic code, passed on genetic code to Joshua. And so I know you understand this, but I'm just speaking for everybody. Well, in Joshua, in Jesus' name, I speak your sins are forgiven you, Joshua. Now, this is not about getting saved. This is about releasing you from the oppression and the pressure of the things that come through the blood speaks in Jesus' name. And I speak a quietness to that, those voices in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that the blood crying out in your life in Jesus' name, distracting you, oppressing you, messing with you, making you feel guilty about something. You didn't even do anything wrong in that particular area. You feel guilty about it. You are forgiven, my brother, because that's the sins of the fathers resonating, preaching through you, speaking through you, talking through you. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Rise up and walk, Joshua, in Jesus' name. Receive your ministry. Receive your calling. We speak over Sue, God. We speak over Sue, God. The same thing with Sue. I speak in her bloodline, Jesus, so she can be free. So she can just begin to talk to Jesus in a way she never has before. In Jesus' name, I speak that the sins of the fathers, whatever genetic code she was connected to that brought, you know, thinking that was not of God. In Jesus' name, I speak forgiveness over you, Sue. You are released of your sins. The sins of the fathers and you are forgiven. They are released in Jesus' name. That you will know the blood of Jesus, what the blood of Jesus will say in you, is that you are forgiven. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Rise up and walk. Rise up and be healed. Rise up. Jesus' blood had no sin in it. There is nothing to your inheritance. Is the blood of Jesus, the love of Jesus, his blood. What does his blood cry out? Blessings, blessings, blessings. The Father, the connection to the Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah, okay, and then I just read this. I just literally just read this. I finished it, Susan, you read the rest of it. It says, and that all debts are forgiven, spiritual and the national. Yes, amen. Oh, that's amazing. I didn't read that part yet, and I just kind of read it as I go. I didn't read those things. You know, God is not with us. That's amazing that you say you want me to do that. I didn't know you were asking me to do that, and I was doing it anyway. Thank you, Jesus, for leading us and guiding us into all truth, God. For the forgiveness of spiritual debt, for natural debt, for Joshua, for Sue, for Charles and Nikki, for Destiny, for Christian, for all the children, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, and Charles's family and his blood, in the name of Jesus. See, we need to start doing this for our children. It's not just a one-time thing. I think it's something like renewing our minds. Sometimes it takes, you know, doing it and doing it and doing it as God gives the impartation to do it. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sin, God, released in Jesus' name. Rise up. The shackles are broken. The shackles of sin and unrighteousness in the fathers, in your blood, in your body, and that flows, that pumps through your veins, crying after you to do and think certain things. In Jesus' name, they are forgiven. You know, the blood of Jesus forgives them. Now rise up and receive Christ as your Savior. You have to ask him to save you. Just because you get your sins forgiven of your fathers doesn't mean you're saved. You have to rise up and say, Jesus, save me with your blood. Save me with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, let salvation reign in that family, God. Hallelujah, with your glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Were you there when he put mud on the guy's eyes? In the blinded man's eyes. Were you there? Yes. We are there. We are there. We were there. We're in his body. His cells speaking to us. Everything that his cells, he healed every manner of disease. Every manner of every, all kinds of, all manner of disease and sickness. He healed it all once. So that when we eat his body, the recordings of all that and the cells of his body are all there. Much less than going to the cross and dying for our sins. That's a whole other level. But, I mean, everything we eat in his body, the engrafting of his flesh, when we're, you know, the Holy Spirit imparting word to us, and then eating, his body and his blood, a whole different level there, too. Were you there when he forgave all those hypocrites, those religious people? Yes, we are. We're there. When he looked at the religious people who crucified him, when we eat his body, drink his blood, that we are connected to the fact that we're inside of him. No, we're not just observing him like his mama was and like the two thieves. No, we're inside of him. And his cells are inside of us. I'm in him and he's in me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We are in Christ. Everything he did as we partake of his blood, his body in communion, and also the engrafting of the word of God through the Holy Spirit, through his written word, and his revelation word. Hallelujah. That we are partaking of him and everything he experienced and did and does, even to this day, everything he sees. We are connected to what he sees at the right hand of the Father now, as our spirit man is there. Not only do we witness it through eating his body, our spirit man witnesses everything Jesus is and does right now, every day, 24 hours a day. He's witnessing that. Hallelujah. Nicole just gave $11.50. Thank you, Nicole, for that offering. Hallelujah. We just bless Nicole, God. We thank you, God, tonight for resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. In Jesus' name, we thank you for resurrecting Nicole tonight, God. We thank you, Father, for every hair on her head being numbered. Every hair on her head being numbered, God, in Jesus' name. And that it's like I see God going through every part in your body. Every body part, and cleansing and washing and renewing. It's like restoring and rebuilding, renewing. It's like he's doing this with your body, but it's through the body of Jesus. It's through connecting through his word coming alive in you, Nicole, and it brings just like every part in every body part Jesus had, his eyes, his ears, his nose, you know, liver, his kidneys, his toes, his feet, you know, his toenails, his hair, everything. You know, the health, the blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that I just bury Nicole inside of you. I bury her in you. She's buried in Christ. Buried in Christ and risen up a new body, the body of Jesus. The body, it goes down as the body of sin and the product of sin, the product of just being a human being born of a man and a woman. You know, yeah, that. Death, that. Raise up a new body in Jesus' name. Raise up a new body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every blood vessel, every nerve, every tendon, every memory, everything in her brain, her physical, literal brain, where those memories are stored, even in that area of memory, in the name of Jesus, I declare and decree, renewed, brand new, the body of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the heart of God, in Jesus' name. And I'm feeling something, man. I feel like something's leaving, like sorrow, mourning. Were you there when he raised up from the grave? Oh, yeah. Were you there when he told Thomas, here I am? Yeah. What love. Weak Jesus, man, you're eating love, you're eating compassion, you're eating the answer to every problem you've ever had. Jesus is the answer. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like him. Ain't nobody like Jesus. Drink of him. Drink of his blood. Eat of his body. Those are the words of Christ. Of the Messiah himself. He says, eat my body, drink my blood. Lord, I thank you that tonight we eat your body and drink your blood. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. We drink your blood, Lamb of God. Your blood cries out, forgive them, Father, for they know not what to do. Your blood cries out and says, yeah, I am righteous before the Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Buried in Christ. Risen in Christ. Hallelujah. My God, something's going. I feel the spirit of death is leaving somebody's mind. Like death of some kind. A death of some sort. The shock of death is leaving your mind right now. Wow, in Jesus' name. And almost a confusion about it. Confusion about death, confusion about the death, or death. The death of a person, the death of a loved one, the death of something, the death. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for the confusion leaving right now by the power of God. Hallelujah. I declare and I decree it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Were you there when he told Mary she was doing the better thing? Martha was running around doing her thing, busy, busy, busy. Mary was at his feet. Shows you the love Jesus had for those who put him first, who understood that what he had was more than life itself. Hallelujah. Amen. It's still early, but I'm kind of finishing up here, basically. Were you there? They crucified my Lord. Yeah, we'd be there. We're there. It's like us going back in time so that we can go forward in the future. Who's worthy to break the seals? No one but the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I found I really went deep tonight in some places, some words to some people I didn't even really understand. Oh, I had a lot of information that I didn't understand. I mean, I saw it, I see it, I do my best to get it out there so the image of it goes into your thinking. But so to me, that was good. It was an interesting thing. and it's good that it happened. So I'm very grateful for that. But thank God for his love and mercy and taking us places that I don't know how to go. He just takes us. All right. Okay, I'm going to call it a night now, I guess. If nobody else has anything else to say, we are going to shut it down, I guess. Anybody got anything you want to text me, let me know before I move on. Oh, Jeffrey. Thank you, Jeffrey. I didn't hang up too soon. Amen. All right, Jeff and Yuki, $100. Thank you, Jeff and Yuki. Hallelujah. I hear this gentle, like, you know, you have the clanging of cymbals. You said that you have the clanging of cymbals and all that, how it means nothing. It's just a bunch of noise. But then with you, when I heard your offering came in, I heard the sounds of, the gentle sounds of, like, bells. Like, no, they were not bells. What do you call those things that tingle? They kind of have a tingle sound. That's what we call that. What is called? Chimes. Tingle. Like those things that tingle. Those things that chime. I heard chimes, like beautiful chimes coming over you guys. Yeah, Jeff and you. So I think it worked for Jeff. I think it's the position God's putting you in your faith, where your faith is like, you know, beautiful, making beautiful sounds. It's not a bunch of struggle, a bunch of that. It's not that we don't, but we work with a new sound. There's a new sound going on. Like, it's not chop, 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 work, clang, 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 clang. It's more like, where are you there? Like a beautiful sound, like chiming, and creating an atmosphere of, relaxation and rest and blessing and comfort and, accomplishment. There's a sense of accomplishment that's gone on inside you, and that I see that the Lord is going to really water. And you're eating right now. It's like you're eating this five-course meal of accomplishment from God. Because when God accomplishes something, when something gets accomplished, you eat of that. You partake of that. You eat of it, and it becomes part of you. The accomplishment becomes part of who you are now. So it settles you. It reassures you. Look what's been done. Look what's been conquered. Look what's been developed. Look what's happened. Look what I've done. It always increases and grows. You learn to, the accomplishments become more precise and more perfect and more, less harassment, less trouble, less problem, and more of just total the grace of God moving and just, making it a fun ride in Jesus' name, even enjoying the hard times. Amen. It's like in relationships, when you love somebody and work and the work that you work with them and making things work is not the same as when you don't love them. When you don't love them, it's really just wears you out. When you love them, it's like if something's accomplished through working things out, in a business or in a relationship or whatever it is, the accomplishment just feeds you and makes you want to get more and more. It makes you want more. More of God, more accomplishments from God, more victories, so it's feeding that part of you guys. And very important that you eat of that, because it's like food for your soul. It's like food for you to partake of. And, dividing the spoils, like Abraham, when they won the victory, divided the spoils. And they tried to come bring spoils to him and give him part of the blessing. He says, no, nobody's going to make me rich but God. So I see that God's placement in you guys is that, like Abraham, faith was so locked into God. Sometimes it sounds like pride or like
you know, whatever. But it wasn't pride with Abraham. When Abraham said, nobody can make me rich but God, he meant that. And he told people, he said, yeah, here, you know, give that the winnings to my servants, you know, and all that. But he said, ain't nobody going to get any credit for making me rich. So it must have been a lot of money. It must have been a lot of stuff. But the whole thing was that God wants to show you that he's going to be the one who does it. Amen. He's the one who's doing it. The accomplishment is from the Father. And when the Father does it, then you talk with Abraham. You get your eyes on, oh, nobody's going to, you know, get any credit for the accomplishments except God. Going to get all the glory, all the credit. Nobody can take any credit but God. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Yes, Marge, I did pray over yours already. Yes, I did. All right, Nick says, thanks for praying. You're so welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I did too when you were speaking. You heard chimes while I was speaking, really? Who else did I hear chimes when you were speaking? I said yes. Interesting. That is really interesting. No other Noel heard chimes. Thought your mic. Thought my mic. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Oh, through the mic. Oh, on my end. Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. You know, I have different things that go on my phone, make all different kind of noises, but the thing that was, you know, happening there was just like, you know, the Lord just, that's the way LF explained what I heard in the spirit was like from clanging cymbals, you know, to chimes, like it was a whole different thing. If only I could describe what I was hearing from the Lord was the chimes. And, yeah, so that's amazing. Yeah, sometimes we have stuff go on. Yeah, that's really awesome. Okay, very, very good, y'all. Wow, okay, Angela Joy, $20. Thank you, Angela Joy. Building Fund, thank you for that. People get all that Building Fund thing. I love it. Yeah. Thank you, Angela. Angela Joy, $20. Building Fund. Yeah. Registering that. There is that. Thank you, Lord, for Angela Joy. God, I thank you, Father, for her. I see something going on with your brain. My God is, you know, I don't know if this has to do with memories or just refreshing of something. I can see a refreshing going on inside your brain, like hope, like, I don't know, like hope, like fresh, like something fresh and new, like you're feeling something new is going to happen to you or is happening to you, something fresh, something new, something, you know, of hope, of, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I see it going on in your brain or your, you know, the problem is not renewing your soul, renewing your mind. It's like there's some kind of renewal of hope or some kind of a connection to, you know, a fresh, freshness, like refreshing of the Lord comes by the presence of God. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that with Angela, God. We just got to open that up and multiply that and let that be something that spreads all through her body and refreshes her body tonight, that her body will be refreshed, her body parts, every part in your body be refreshed by the refreshment of that memory or that thought or that something of hope, and you know, because sometimes we have, you know, we go along with life and we just use something else and we get hope about something. We get hope about something. Something that we thought, well, you know, we know it's going to happen sometime, but all of a sudden, boom, we got hope about it. Hope, refreshing. Thank you, Jesus. Open that up, God. Open that up. Let that spill into every part of our body. Let that hope, that refreshing, that sparkling refreshing, speak and spread. Braka, braka, rapeko, braka, boreko, bacheri, maro. Spread through our being, Holy Ghost, life eternal, everlasting life, flowing through our being, in Jesus' name. Bring to her body life and hope, her soul, her mind, her future. Jesus' name, Shiko Shako Pahare. Amen, in Jesus' name, because refreshing always renews. Refreshing always refreshes. It brings a refreshing, makes things fresh, fresh and new. Thank you, God, for sweeping that over her soul, her mind. Jesus' name, sweeping over her body, sweeping over her life, sweeping over her home, sweeping over her money, sweeping over her finances and her future. Hallelujah, her purpose. In Jesus' name, Pudse Pekawa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let it be done right now by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Were you there when he went up to heaven in a cloud? Shane, what's the prayer over friend Ted? I thought about Ted and Fenton. Okay, Lord, pray for Ted tonight, God, Shannon's friend, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that Ted learned how to expand at the right times, like get in the water when the water's moving things and get out when it's not. You know, learn how to move in and move out when the waves come, to ride the waves, to do the wave thing, and when the waves aren't there, just to relax and learn to enjoy and prepare and get prepared, stay prepared, live prepared, being prepared, always prepared, being alert, being just like the five wise virgins, alert and have plenty of oil, ready to move in when they need to be aware, to be awake, to be alive, to be, you know, prepared. The five Buddhist virgins, you know, they were there, they were all together, but they had to go get old. They weren't prepared. They were ready. Lord, teach Sure Ted how to be ready in Jesus' name and walk in that. Just let that blessing be upon him, Father, to prepare. And when it comes, he's like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. Jump in. In Jesus' name, be blessed and be, let him think that good thoughts. Let the negative thoughts, God, let him learn from them. Let him break bread with them. Let him not fear bad thoughts. Let him learn from them. You know, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And then Phaeton. Okay, got it. Phaeton. Lord, bless Phaeton tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, that Phaeton's heart finds a place of security and home. Finds himself feeling at home. In Jesus' name, being able to rest wherever he is, being able to find peace and rest in Jesus' name and feel at home, like you can rest and, you know, relax and know that this is, you know, my place, my thing, my stuff, it's mine, you know, it's like, Jesus' name, that God wants to bless. God has that every person to be blessed, to know they're favored in Jesus' name, that they know that he's favored, Father, in Jesus' name, that you, all he needs to do is just activate his faith in you, Jesus, and intercede. Yeah. Yeah, in Jesus' name, intercession. We pray that people around him will support him and, you know, and will activate him and will acknowledge him, that he will know that he's acknowledged by you, God, is the biggest thing, but that he will not crave the acknowledgments of men, but he will crave the acknowledgment of the Father, of God, of God's approval. When we have that, then if we get approval of men, it's wonderful. If we don't, it's not as big of a deal, because we got God on our side. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. For the friendships, God, that he be a friend, that he find himself a friend, find himself at home with friendship in Jesus' name. And any loneliness, any feeling separated and apart, God, be feel at home. The whole thing about feeling at home. I take authority over stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety in Jesus' name. I take authority over stress and anxiety in Jesus' name. And fretting in the name of Jesus. I speak peace to your mind, Phaeton. In the name of Jesus, peace be to you, Phaeton. Please. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, pray over. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Shannon. Nicole, $30, thank you for that. And pray for Alice, my mom. Yes, in Jesus' name, thank you. Offering at $30. Thank you. And Jesus, Lord, just thank you, God. You're welcome, Shannon. You're so welcome. Alice, Lord, we thank you for Alice tonight, God, that Alice will let the past be the past, and Lord God, let her dreamer begin to dream again. God, she shut off her dreamer, and then when we shut off our dreamer, sometimes it's hard to let other people dream and hope and live beyond what we can see, what we see existing, not living just existing, but living with a future, living with something hopeful. God, that you give Alice hope, you give her a dream to dream, to let her dream again. Let her not forever forget that she can always dream and dream and hope. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to her body, that her body receive that resurrection power of the Holy Ghost, that her body and her mind, Lord, receive that breaking of the yoke of oppression in Jesus' name, and let her find a new joy, a new peace in Jesus' name, that you are the Lord of all, you are the God of all. And that there's none like you. You are Him. You are the one. In Jesus' name, and you give people dreams and give them purpose. God, I should give her a new purpose and let her let other people have purpose and let she will let them dream, and so that she can open up the dream realm to her to dream big dreams. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And let the future be an adventure instead of a dread, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. In every area of our life, God, in Jesus' name, not just some areas, every area, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. I rebuke confusion and pain, and I speak forgiveness of sin to her genetic code, to her DNA. I speak, Alice, your sins are forgiven, the sins of your fathers, they are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, those sins, in Jesus' name, of the blood, in the name of Christ, they are washed away and cleansed in the name of Jesus. Speak peace to you and harmony to you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let it be done, God. And every false hope, God, just follow her in Jesus' name and give her fresh hope, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Were you there when you sang the song of Zion? I like to be there to hear Jesus sing. That would be amazing to me to hear him sing. Hallelujah. To sing. Sing over your people tonight, God. I ask you to sing over your people. Lord, bring strength, bring hope, bring victory, God. Bring hope, and let them hope that a future, Father, that we see things through your eyes, God, that you know we can have confidence because we know you have confidence because you have all things in your hands. As long as we're on your side and with you, then we're good. If we're not on your side, then woe be to us. So, God, show us how to get on your side, God. Show those our loved ones how to get on your side, Jesus. If we're on your side, doesn't matter what men do, men say. Doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. We're protected. We're kept. In Jesus' name, washed over by the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. Cool, man. Were you there when Jesus forgave the adulterous sin? Were you there when he forgave every sin of every man? Yes, we're there with the Holy Spirit by eating his body, drinking his blood. We're there. We are in him. In him as we, that's what Jesus said in Matthew, in John 6. He says, when you eat my body, drink my blood, you're in me. You're in me. John 6. I'm going to read that for a second, then I'm going to. I'm already in John 3. Cool. John 6. I'm going to read this. Yes, here's this word. Here's a scripture about the food. I was talking about food earlier to somebody. I don't remember, even remember who it was. But about, oh, yes, Terrence and Tanisha, about food, about turning, about giving people not information, but giving them food. He says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed the seal of approval. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But as I stated, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last days. For it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna, and they died. But I am the bread from heaven. Hallelujah. All right, here it is again. It said, truly, truly, I say to you, John 6, verse 53, unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink.
Wow.
My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And that's amazing. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. Also, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. All right, that's amazing. I feel like I should read that before I moved on. Okay, y'all. I guess I'll call it a night tonight. Thank you, everybody, for all your love and everything you do. It's been a great, great night. Hallelujah. And we shall see you Monday. All right. Let's see. Okay. All right. Awesome. All right, everybody's going to call it a nice night. Thank you so much for everything. We love you, and it's been great. Just eat the words of Jesus, and you'll live. And that living word will speak to you life. It will overcome death of all kinds. All right, good night, everybody. We love you. Good night. See you later.
Bye.